Good morning. There we are. Good morning. Good morning. Good to be with you all on this first Sunday of June. We're shifting into our summer Sundays together. You may have seen a little bit about this in the newsletter. We talked about it a little bit last week, too. We're shifting a little bit about how we do worship so that we can have our worship be around 50 minutes. As you may be feeling today, it's nice and warm in our sanctuary space. We love this space, and we're going to stay here for summer because our live stream and our sound is all better in this space, and so it's a way to be hospitable to everyone. And so we invite you to show up in whatever clothing is best for hot weather. We invite you to get ice water as you need and fans. And then you'll see there are some adjustments to our worship service to have it be around 50 minutes, give or take, especially on communion Sundays. I invite you to look in the bulletin to notice things that are happening. We're honored to have Reverend Brian Burton here with us this morning to preach. Alan's brother and Paula's brother-in-law. Thanks, Brian, for being here, for making the trip. You can see more about him in the bulletin. I'm also grateful to have Alan and LJ and Grace leading worship with me today. You'll see a note there about Jillian Mast, who is wrapping up her time as our associate for youth ministry. There have been some changes in her life that she's focusing on her veterinarian work, and we're grateful for the time that she has cared for our teenagers. And we are in partnership, Board of Christian Ed, with Reverend Laura, who is going to start on July 1, and we'll be working to make sure that the youth are well cared for as we move forward. You'll see information about Habitat for Humanity, all the ways to connect in good work. So check all that stuff out in the announcement section as you are able. Would you join? Oh, no, we're going to hear the prelude first. We're going to start with worship, the prelude of Shanae, and then you can join Grace in the prayer in a little bit. Let's worship.
Please stand in body or spirit. Creator of this wild world, you've designed weather and patterns, human bodies, and complex emotions. Our brains can't wrap around the immensity, and sometimes we feel overwhelmed. Sometimes we're caught off guard by just so much beauty and sometimes daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Fill us with awe so we pay attention to the wonder around us, like more light in the day, an unexpected joke, peony blossoms the size of a melon, and the mysteries of communion. Help our eyes to see with your lens and our hearts to be filled with your boundless love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Our Lord, we humbly bow before you in humility and sorrow for the state of your world. We have been poor, mindless guardians of your spectacular creations. The suffering across your creations is sadly bountiful and ever increasing. The growing flood of negative and depressing news turns us inward, and we protect ourselves with an ever-hardening shell of apathy, focusing on our own little world. Help us to better realize our many blessings so we can better realize our Christ-led message to help those in need. Help us push back apathy and support those living in the turmoil of emotional distress with chronic health issues, unable to pay for the simple basics of living, or just overwhelmed by daily stressors, and to also support those who have lost so much due to environmental disasters, which continue to increase in scope and magnitude. This reality often targets the existing vulnerable, but sadly, the masses of newly vulnerable across wildlife and wildlife populations. We know we are so fortunate to live here in Ann Arbor, largely untouched by environmental disasters, with access to abundant and amazing resources. We are so blessed by this church family here who enveloped my Paula with love and support this past month. Yes, we are so blessed, yet over 3.5 billion of your children face hardship and suffering every single day. So please help us to think of them daily, to be more empathetic, giving us the willpower to step up, to reach out, to let others know there is hope, there are those who care, and that life can and will get better if each of us simply does our part. Today we offer up prayers for Grange Burnside, Pidgey Caroli, Kathy Mortensen, Paula Burton, John Vandervliet, Mary Margaret Hatt, Emily Wright, Erica Deals, Ed Parmentier, Catherine Cartier, Marilyn McKenzie, Keith Pickleman, Marlene Francis, Roberta House, Mervyn Jukarts, Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marsh, Helga Mortensen, Cindy Orkarski, Greg Dubois, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, and look to unseen doorways for new loves, new ways for love to enter. In closing, let us remember the words of your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
To come up during the Gloria now for the summertime, so come on up and have a seat. So when you hear us start singing the Gloria, you can come right on up. Wait, have your seat, your bottom right here for a second, face me. Yeah. We're going to hear a story in a little bit about a man named Abram, and God says to him, Abram, I am with you, and I invite you to go on a journey, and I will be with you there too. And I've been thinking about what's special about this month, June, and Pride Month. And I've been thinking about how God, like Abram, God is with us now, and God is with us on our journeys of becoming, of growing into all that God created us to be, in all the ways we are, and all the ways we will be. God is always with us. And so we celebrate that, especially with all kinds of beautiful colors of the rainbow in this month of June when we celebrate Pride. When we say, we know God is with us. God is with us and created us. With us, those of us that are gay, and those of us that are lesbians, and those of us that are transgender. God is with us, those of us who are non-binary in how we identify. All the ways God is with us, now and in our becoming. So, would you please take a ribbon wand, and we're going to stand up. Would you stand up, have your wand, your ribbons, and stand up quick. And we're going to wave these above our heads. And would you say, yeah. Here you go. Oh, I'm making sure. Don't worry. I'll make sure everybody gets one. I'm good at that, making sure everybody gets one. Don't you worry. You just need one. Are you sure? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, would you step away from everybody? Put it above your head and say, God is with us. God is with us. Hey, would you all say that too? God is with us. Would you say, God is with us now? God is with us now. And let's shake it down in front of our bodies and on our journeys. And on our journeys to become, can you do it? Now go up. To become all God has created us to be. We're going to do a circle for that. All that God has created us to be. And then a big shakedown for amen. Amen. God is with you. Would you please give me your wand? And we're going to head upstairs to church school. Let's head upstairs together. God is with us next.
Our scripture text this morning is found in Genesis 12, 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you, I will curse. And by you, all the families of the earth shall bless themselves." So Abram went as the Lord told him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions which they had gathered, and the persons that they had gotten in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan, where they had come to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Thence he removed to the mountain on east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. And one added scripture today for the preaching text is found in Psalm 37, 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness." As I gaze across your faces this morning, I'm flooded with emotion because I have watched you for 16 years, both near and far. I feel like a debtor to this congregation. You have ministered to me. You have cared for my family, especially lately, and we are exceedingly grateful. My life and my ministry have been intertwined with this congregation since before I knew you even existed. In 1987, while I was a ministerial student at Southern Seminary, I heard some commotion about a recent graduate named Paul Duke. I began to follow his ministry with interest. And then in 2008, my brother Alan relocated to Ann Arbor. Now, Alan was raised Southern Baptist. His wife, Paula, Catholic. So I gently suggested that they visit First Baptist Church. They were at first, before visiting, a little skeptical, I think because of your church's middle name. But look at the Burtons now. Fully immersed, swashbuckling Baptist. And little brother is in the pulpit. Oh, it's been such a source of delight for me to watch them flourish here in your midst and to be so happy. It's a reminder that God is a God of surprise. I share all this because this morning, in the few minutes we have, I'd like to hold up a mirror to you and show you what I have observed about this pioneering congregation. I hope the mirror will become a window for you a spacious, sparkling window for you to be reminded of how the Spirit is alive and working in this place, especially as you welcome a new pastor and as you build a future that's bigger than your past. Now, today's scripture is a familiar story. Before God's appearance to him, we learn that Abraham is in the throes of freshly grieving the death of his brother, which must have been shattering. Then God says, grab the goats and the camels, tune up the chariots, it's time to move. Like the disciples who dropped their nets and followed Jesus, to our modern ears, this just seems so unbelievable. We are such planners, we're strategic, we forecast, we don't just make radical changes like this. But it really shows you about the obedience and faith. How did Abraham summon such supernatural faith? As we heard from the psalmist, Abraham spent a lifetime cultivating faithfulness. Through adversity, the best teacher, he grew. Isn't it great how inspiring it is when people don't just age, but they develop and grow? We don't tend to get wiser on a carnival cruise. Maybe in some ways we might. But usually it's walking through the valleys that we really begin to grow and we appreciate what God's presence really means to us. You know, Abraham passed through many valleys that most people would have given up on God. But he didn't. In fact, Abraham's faith became so enormous that his name is mentioned almost 300 times in Scripture. He's the only person referred to in Scripture as a friend to God. First Baptist Church, Ann Arbor, you are on the edge of another transition in your long and winding pilgrimage. Be not afraid. Transitions are the only way we really grow. When the ground beneath us shifts, we are forced to step out of the darkness, not knowing where we're going, and like Abraham, we follow. The moment I walked into this sanctuary about 16 years ago, I felt your fierce compassion and your gladness to be a house of worship for all people. There is a fragrance that emanates from a people of God who have over time been through struggle and overcome hardship on the long road of obedience and emerge grace-filled. It is impossible to describe it, but there is a redolence in the air, and I've developed a strong olfactory system for recognizing it, and you have it here. I've watched you celebrate your triumphs and cradle one another through periods of indescribable grief and loss. Through the ups and downs of our economy, through the recent horrific spectacles of our national public life, you have fervently maintained a prophetic call and witness. I've marveled at the defiant hope and the steadfast fidelity to gospel principles that you have, to social justice, to service, missions, intercessory prayer, and caring for each other. The fragrance, this kind of fragrance accompanies years of work as a people building an inclusive community, learning to cultivate faithfulness as you work with the beautiful and the humiliated, learning to be comfortable with being with people wherever they are on the ragged rim of this economy. In the center of Christ's hearts, there you are also. A few years ago, several years ago now, I visited and I did not see many children and youth. In subsequent years, I saw that change. Again, a credit, I think, to the Spirit's work within and through you, as well as hiring gifted staff that wanted to make sure the needs of everyone were being met. Okay, I confess I do have an informant in this congregation. She's much too pretty to call a mole. So I was advantaged to see the pastor profile that you completed as you were about to start your pastor search. And I tell you, I could not stop smiling at all of the comments that you, the laity, made, and the ownership you have in this church, the affection, the memories, but also the hopes and aspirations that you have, and just the very high expectations. I absolutely love it. And when I read the biography of Pastor Laura, I guess my years out in the desert in Las Vegas kind of took over, because I thought, they hit the jackpot. And I thought, well, she did too. I'm kind of picturing her up here on her first Sunday looking out and radiating and just thinking, I look to the pews from which cometh my help. As I read through the dozens of comments, I was also struck by the amazing step you took, I think it was in 2018, to become an open and affirming congregation. That was huge. Thank you for doing that. The profile noted that 92% of survey respondents identified as straight. That's okay. You were born that way. Thank you for being an exhibit of what it means to have differences, but to be forgiving and patient and loving throughout a process like that, which is never easy. I often tell my family they have no idea how blessed they are to be in a church like this. I've been in hundreds of churches. What you have here is very, very special. Few congregations truly practice the doxology the way this one does. Very few have this unbelievable riches of gifts of laity and clergy. You're encouraging children to be curious, to freely question and explore and own their faith and not just inherit it. The way you preach inclusion and practice it and help people understand that the nature of our calling is not determined by the shape of our anatomy. You have a fecundity of outreach and mission programs that are legendary in the grapevine of this community. You've elevated a distinctively warm and elegant liturgical worship worthy of our God, while you were equally comfortable putting on muddy boots and going out and helping to repair the world. And come on, how many Baptist churches have an air garage? mean, that sounds like a place where you park the prayers till they're answered. I don't know. Paula had to explain that to me, but I thought, that's cool. They've got some residual revenue coming in. So one last gaze into the mirror. Look at it. Peer in there intently, reflecting back at you and the journey of this church. What do you see? Yes, there have been struggles and hard times, but amidst all that, don't you see the pools of grace? I mean, they're so real, you almost do a double take and look back over your shoulder. God's faithfulness to you, always there, creating something new, finding a silver lining, healing, growing, delighting in the new thing that is coming. Now the window. Do you remember that little toy we played with as children called a kaleidoscope? It was a little tube, and you could look through it, and there were just these amazing moving crystals and colors, and they looked like jewels floating around. Moving pieces, shifting perspective, dynamic complexity, fragments and random elements that can be reordered into a cohesive beauty by simply changing the angle of view. As you get to know Laura and she gets to know you, differences will inevitably emerge. We're human. Endeavor to listen, to remember those pools of grace. Peer intently for ways to transcend and find new designs. Kaleidoscope comes from a word that means a beholder of beautiful things. Keep this metaphor close as you form community with your new pastor. Through this window, may you also see a future that is abundant and anchored in the promises of God, where opportunities may be disguised as obstacles. A future where your oneness with all suffering humanity and creation, so firmly rooted in your history, deepens and spreads wide. A future where the vitality and sustainability of this congregation are secure and without equal. A future where your faith flows outward through advocacy for other people, Christ's love in action. You blessed souls, float free and confidently into the new and mysterious future that God has for you. Like Abraham, launch with grace and generosity, cultivating faithfulness, knowing that our guarding and guiding God will never, never, no, never forsake you. Amen.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Let us give now with grateful and generous hearts. For communion this summer, we're going to invite you in a little bit to come forward to two stations. You may have experienced that most recently at Children's Ministry Sunday. That will be what we do for these summer communion Sundays. We invite you to come down the center aisles and then head back to your seats around the side. We know it can get a little bit complicated, so just be patient with each other as you find your way back to your pew. Thanks for being flexible and doing this new way with us. If you would like to receive communion at your pew, as we finish with those who are coming forward, just go ahead and wave your hand at us, and we will be keeping an eye out so that we can bring communion to you if that is best for you to receive it at your pew. Another change this summer is we're going to be singing while we receive communion. So you'll see in your bulletin that there is a communion hymn to sing. You are welcome to bring that forward as you come. If you want to sing while you come forward, you can sing before you come or after you come. It's up to you how you want to do. We know that's new for us in this season. God invites us to come to this table, knowing that we are siblings called to live out the death and resurrection of Jesus. We inhabit a universe of grace. This bread and this wine are means of God's grace.
So friends, let's begin by confessing our sins before God and one another as we prepare to receive these gifts. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name, amen. Friends, hear these good news of assurance.
Christ died for us
while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. And so, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory.
Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Thank you.
inviting us to your table and sharing your feast. May we know that we have been fed with love and with grace, and may we follow you out into the world, ambassadors of your hope and your peace. Amen.
Amen. Friends, as we do every Communion Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, we have a fellowship offering. The offering plates are at each of the doors. Those offerings on these special Sundays are for those who come through our doors throughout the week in need. One of our ways of really being ambassadors of love and hope in the world is to respond to those who have need for a place to stay for a night, or need help with a phone bill, or whatever the need may be. And you all gave very generously last month when we talked about this to help meet the need of a family who is living in their car. So thank you for that. And we continue every Sunday, every Communion Sunday, to be able to give to that fellowship offering. So you'll see those plates at the door as you exit. We invite you to give with grateful and generous hearts again. And now, let's pass the peace to one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
Christ still sends us roses. We try to be held and formed and kept by him. Instead, he offers us freedom. And now, as you try to do his will, may his kindness flood you. May his great love overwhelm you. And you may you hear him whisper, "Surprise me." Go in peace.